It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Daniel Pryor, the Sound Mind broadcast, life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Going strong for a couple of years at least now, Daniel, it
going
seems.
Strong, yeah.
Going
couple
strong.
Of years. Yes, we have at our podcast, we've got at least probably a little over 2 years of shows there and people.
All of your shows are at your website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
All of these programs available there. This might be an interesting series, next couple of shows that people might want to get. Trying to address the violence in our culture currently and the harassment going on and why it's... For the most part, men mm-hmm. who are the culprits, and you want to kind of want to look into what's going on with men.
Yeah, I really do want to kind of unpack that, as we're saying these days, and you know, help people to understand, and hopefully get some insight into things we can do. You know, people have been bombarded the last week or so, lots of opinions on you know, what should have been done, what should have happened, what could have been helped, and. You know, blaming the FBI and the FBI blaming the PBI. You know what that is? The People's Bureau of Investigation.
<There you go. laughs>
We didn't give them enough information. Mm. And I want to get into some of the contributing factors that identify these this week's shootings. And as you said, next week is going to be interesting, too. We're going to be talking about kind of sexual harassment. And a lot of the material overlaps because it's men primarily involved in both of these. So I want to talk a lot
prisons
about...
Prisons are mostly filled with men.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So some of the contributing factors, and I'll read through some of these. We've got five basic ones, and then hopefully to get into some material that people probably haven't had an opportunity to think this far into it. But of course, some of these things have been brought up, and some of them haven't, or some of them more than others. But of course, the whole area of mental instability and prescription drug use. And there's a not in all these cases, but in many of these cases, there were already diagnosed mental health illnesses, and the people were on some kind of mood-altering drug, and the side effects of these mood-altering drugs can have something to do with that. Statistically, the increase in crime in the U.S. seems to coincide with the increase of these mood-altering drugs around about the 60s. If you look, there's a lot of overlapping material, so it's not, you're not going to be able to go online and find a graph that that kind of is all inclusive, and there's so many overlapping kinds of violence, and graphs are made for different reasons. But by and large, there's a trend of increase in crime with the increase of these mood altering drugs, which also those mood altering drugs also came along at the same time as kind of like. You know, the LSD was kind of like the flagship drug, the feel-good drug. And it wasn't just LSD. It was basically serotonin reuptake inhibitors. So So the idea came across that you should not feel bad about anything. You should, you know, if you feel bad about anything, you've got a malady and you need to take this, you need more serotonin. So then people get used to the idea that I shouldn't feel bad about anything, even if I do something wrong or, you know, I should feel okay about it. And so morality begins to drop off at the same time you see these drugs coming onto the market.
And kids taking these drugs, too. Kids are getting hooked on these younger ages.
Down into the junior high ages and even younger. Poor parenting is another one that is often identified. And I think it can be truthfully said that we currently have grandparents, parents, and young people. So we're at least three generations, maybe four generations. We have people that have grown up just steeped in postmodernism, and that's just kind of like the falling away from morality and seeing man not as a created creature, but as basically an animal. And so then why should it surprise us that we begin to act like animals if that's the philosophy that's being taught? So we have people that have grown up in that mentality, grown up in that. There are people in America that have never heard the name of Christ, believe it or not.
A generation that grew up that did not hear of the Lord.
Yeah.
We've heard that term in the Bible. That's happened in the past.
And for these people, quite often, the ideal nurturing family nucleus is not been a reality, and traditional values have not been relevant. at all. Where do these kids get their values? And will they get them from
TV.
Violent amusement, mm-hmm. which is the next thing that's mm-hmm. been pointed out. You know, they get it from, they get their values basically from Hollywood and game boxes and glamorizing crime and violence. Games that score, I couldn't believe this, how many pedestrians you can run over or how many fellow students you can kill at your school.
Really, there's games on that?
I was seeing one image of one where a guy was being shot down in a school shower stall. Blood all over the walls. And so you see these kinds of things, violent behavior. And so without traditional values being taught and nurturing parents, again, the kids are getting their values from these games, from Hollywood. I mean, we have some of the people that are making the laws might be my age or older, 60s and 70s, and maybe they're not comprehending where today's culture is because they seem to have this idea that kids still have a fundamental moral standard, but they don't. They're getting their moral standards from the games that they're playing and from what they see.
Well, and you hear the biggest complaints about all the stuff from people in Hollywood. And yet they're contributing to the violence probably more than anyone.
Yeah, they love to play that. They love to come out and you know, come in like the posse and, you know, try to rescue. But they're the ones that were creating the violence to begin with. Yeah. And they do it for money. You know, it's just the love of money. And this kind of adds up to our cultural moral free fall. Fewer people talking about the cultural free fall that obviously correlates to the increase in crime. They want to talk about the crime and what we could do about it, but they don't want to address the moral free fall as a fundamental problem. So somebody might say, well, you know what I mean by moral free fall, because aren't the increase in crime, the moral free fall, the same thing? But bad behavior always follows a breakdown in discipline. And I'm not just talking about punishing and spanking. I'm talking about being disciples or disciplining your mind in good ways, in good thought, in moral thought. So society that has discarded, has a disregard for morality, has relinquished really the right and the authority to teach it. And I think that's where that's kind of the double bind here, where teachers, parents, legislators think they have the right to legislate or teach or guide in morality, but they have disregard for morality, and they really don't have the position to teach morality. And the kids know this. Kids look at this as hypocrisy, and they just disregard it.
Well, there's no respect for authority. Mm-hmm. I mean, no respect in the home, and then they want the teachers to somehow teach these things, and yet the teachers have completely mm-hmm. lost control of the classrooms too, because they can't discipline anymore.
Yeah.
They get in trouble if they try.
Yeah.
So it's just kids are it's kind of like, I hate to say the inmates are running the asylum because kids aren't inmates, but they're kind of fast becoming mm-hmm. that, where they're kind of, they know they need guidance. Nobody's given it to them. Yeah. They're kind of mm-hmm. indirectly, I think, crying out for guidance. Yeah. Crying out, can I say crying out for a spanking, or crying out for discipline, like you say.
Yeah.
They need discipline.
And again, that we're so many generations into it now. It used to be that children knew who their parents were and knew who their grandparents were, and that they could see like a common thread. It wasn't perfect, but they could see a common thread of certain morals that continued generation to generation. So they could see this. They could see this not only with their parents, but when they went to visit the grandparents, the morals were similar. These things have broken apart now. You can have great grandparents. You don't have to be very old to be a great grandparent, do you?
No, not these days.
Yeah. You can have great grandparents that have the kind of morals that I've had growing up, and then the grandparents, maybe went a little bit stray, but by the time you get to the parents, and sometimes even the grandparents now, I mean, it's always kind of puts me aback a little bit when kids come in or young people come in or even young adults come in and they talk about their grandparents, and their grandparents turn out to be my age in their 60s. And we're the hippie guys and, the druggies and kind of lost control. And then, of course, how can you expect the kids to credit what you teach them? And so then by the time you get to the grandkids, the chain is broken and there's mm-hmm. your parents.
Well, so you have kids, you have young people now, and you have this moral cultural free fall.
Yeah.
And then you throw into the mix a country like ours where mm-hmm. there's easy access to guns.
Yeah.
And it's like mm-hmm. just asking for trouble.
Yeah.
But we've always had guns in America. Mm-hmm. And 50 years ago, there's probably just as many guns per capita as there is now.
Yeah, we've lost.
We didn't have people shooting each other. Yeah. So it's like we've got it. We've raised a generation of people who are kind of nuts now, who can't handle guns anymore. They used to be able to.
Yeah,
but so is guns the problem? I think it's a complicated issue.
Yeah, the problem is, and one of the things we'll get into a bit in this show, and then well, we are going to talk about the intrigue of the hunt in this show, because there's something that's, and again, it's predominantly men.
Back to the men.
But there's some wiring in men that I want to get to here.
And it seems to be innate, too, because when kids play from a very young age, boys will pick up a stick and go bang, bang, or they'll put their fingers. It's not the, what is this? Is it like a genetic thing that men just like to?
Well, it's a wiring thing that we'll get to. It before it was guns, it was bows and arrows, and primitive people. Yeah. There are still,
they were hunters.
There are still, and they're wired to do that. So I think when people see these mass killings, the rage of it seems somehow difficult to comprehend on its face. But actually, there are some really familiar components. Of course, this behavior is also rooted in fear and shame, which has to do with that core of personality, which has to do with survival and safety, which kind of gets back to the wiring for hunting, which I'll go into in a bit. And so it's this reaction to fear and shame is always some form of anger. And also, forms of anger are also reflect fear and shame. So that's conversely true, too. So it's also then a type of an extreme disordered personality because, of course, fear and shame is the core. Well, put it this way, I need to review a bit. The core of our personality has to do with safety and security. But that is quite often, generally, I would probably even go to so far as to say, associated with fear and shame. Of course, we fear because we're mortal, and shame is an internalized message of lack of worth. So those are associated, and they're associated at the core of personality. So when people begin to behave on fear and shame without putting any filters on it or thinking it through and controlling their behavior, we talk about that as a personality disorder. I like to use the term an extreme disordered personality. As with all extreme disordered personalities, it's very egocentric, very self-absorbed, adversarial when it's challenged or questioned. So if you have knowledge of these so-called personality disorders, you know this common thread of all of them. They're all egocentric, self-absorbed, and adversarial whenever they're challenged or questioned. So people who live in that area, that's a person, I so tightly wrapped around these defense mechanisms, they're going to respond in these ways the best of situations. So disordered personality indicates a belief system, behavior tightly wrapped around that defense mechanism, fear, shame, aggression, where vulnerability is not an option, can't be vulnerable, others are a threat. A person does not empathize or share boundaries or share reality with others. So that's where we are. I want to get into the men's.
Why is this men?
Part about men.
Again, are men the main perpetrators of this problem?
Why is it mostly men?
Is it mostly men? Looking at that subject this week on Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor, who actually does work with men quite a bit in their issues. And if you are a man, or maybe you're a woman who has a man in her life and she would like to see him get some help for his issues, Daniel, how can people get in touch with you?
Yes, the office number 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. Have an office in Edmonds, have an office in Kirkland.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Christian marriages are being attacked as never before, from outside and from within. Today more than ever before, you have to be proactive, learning to better be aware, to be more caring, and to be better communicators, recognizing and dealing with problems that are from within, from without, personal or relational. And that's where I can help you. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland co-hosting as well this week. As usual, Sound Mind looking at the subject of violence in our society, and often perpetrated by men, and kind of unpacking, as you say, mm-hmm. Daniel,
yeah.
why men seem to be having the most problems
yeah,
with these issues.
Yeah, and this topic came up primarily, I suppose, because of the recent shooting and all the attention now being given to shootings and all that's been written and being said about it. So we're trying to go through this and make some sense out of it. And of course, interestingly, it's generally men. And ironically, in a culture that wants to blur the gender distinctions, hardwiring is getting in the way. You know, our masculinity seems to require, and when I say masculinity, you see, this is a continuum. Masculine, feminine is a continuum. Male, female, that's not a continuum. You're either a male or you're a female, and that's assigned when you're
right
before
despite,
you're born.
Despite pop psychology, currently.
That's trying to blur it. But masculinity, you have men that are more or less, you know, there's a mix of, you know, some are, you know, professional wrestlers and like getting sweaty and dirty, and others like to have the floral shop or be an engineer or something like that. And then you have gals that, you know, like to work in, work at home, and gals that like to go out and steer and play baseball. So you've got the masculine, feminine. So the masculine side of our nature seems to require fundamentally the need for something important enough to die for or kill or something like that. There's a hunting thing, which also, of course, says a lot about the person, what the person's living for. So it tells me, you know, how this person, I'm going to use the term hunts, how this person hunts or what this person feels is important enough to die for tells me where the person's value system is. So a lot of these, not all of them, but a lot of the shootings have to do with a falling out between a boyfriend and a girlfriend. I'm talking about the school shootings. There's a lot of times there's a gal involved, cherche la femme. And then other times it might have to do with the political thing or something like that. But it always has to do with something about value, control, and power, getting back to the fear and the shame of that personality. But you look at back this the intrigue of the hunt or the necessity for the male to hunt. You see this back in the history of duels. I was just watching I forgot his name.
Hamilton.
Hamilton. Mm-hmm. Thank you. You can cut that part out. But thinking back of Hamilton, just watching a bit on Hamilton, where I guess his son dueled a man out over an insult, and he died, and then Hamilton,
that's how Hamilton
was
died.
Killed a couple years later mm-hmm. over the same kind of thing. What mm-hmm. was it about men wanting to go out, whether it was swords or bows and arrows or guns? Why this thing about men feeling like,
honor.
Yeah, and so mm-hmm. this is worth death. Now, gals look at this and they think it's nuts, but I'm going to argue that there's some wiring here. Mm. The whole male macho, the thing about, you know, men are the ones who start wars. Men are also primarily the ones on our masculine side, this need to go discover rivers and climb high mountains and things like that. Now, women enter this world, and they often do by necessity or compulsion or personal drive, but it's really the masculine world. It's the male world, the masculine side of our nature. Now, let me go on here for just a bit. The masculine side of our nature is a hunter, and I'm just basically reading this that I've earlier written. Now, there are many ways to hunt. It doesn't have to involve killing. Pilots flying missions of mercy in dangerous remote airstrips, that's a form of hunting. Making a new discovery, climbing Mount Everest, going to the moon, building, creating, inventing, any grand accomplishment is some form of hunting. Mm. But this culture has, on the one hand, largely eliminated hunting opportunities for a certain demographic. And you can see how the shift in how we make our money has become more technological. So no one can be blamed about that. In a certain respect, it's just a cost of living in an automated technological age. On the other hand, this hunting passion, this restlessness, is being medicated and channeled into self-absorption, self-gratifying amusements, many of which are violent.
Mm-hmm.
A resource is being wasted while impatience and the need for immediate reward is being taught, cultivated, and seized upon by amusement markets. When Billy Bush said that for a man to lose his job was the ultimate degradation, he's talking about a man losing a primary avenue he has for this existential fundamental need to hunt. A job satisfaction is part of this hunting now. So he's denied one avenue, he finds another, and maybe it's a violent means. So this does not excuse that behavior, but explains behavior. This is what any animal would do. You fence off one hunting ground and it finds another. And why would some men, put to the test, behave like an animal without regard for human morality? It's because in rejecting our society, rejecting the moral ground that makes men human to begin with, our culture is gradually becoming more like the society of lower animals. At best, we're morally insincere, and at worst, our morals are those of lower animals. I've got a quote here by Elliot Rodger, who was killed six people on the campus at University of California, Santa Barbara. You girls never have been attracted to me. I don't know why you girls aren't attracted to me, but I'll punish you for it. It's an injustice, a crime, because I don't know why you don't what you don't see in me. I'm a perfect guy, yet you throw yourselves at these obnoxious men instead of me, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'll punish you. One writer was talking about how that's just a spoiled brat. You know, he thinks he's something special. He's got to learn that he's not something special. But it's deeper than that. There's a wiring in men, and what we're doing culturally is on the one hand, we're encouraging this kind of wild expressionism, and on the other hand, we're not wanting to deal with the fallout from it. The fallen nature of man. This is natural animal behavior. That's what the fallen nature of man is. We see this kind of violence defending territory and breeding rights in the lower animal kingdom. And without God, man is merely like an animal. The problem is that we want to live like animals, yet have civilized, moral, in other words, godly laws.
Do we? We don't want those godly laws.
We want civilized.
We want a veneer that everything is working fine, but it's not.
We don't want godly laws in our secular culture, but but they turn out to be godly laws. We want the safety
but you can't have it both ways.
The passivity of godly laws, but we want wild.
We're reaping what we've sown. We're for 50 years.
Yeah. Yeah. All hold, no holds barred. Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, we're encouraging morality and animal behavior, and then we blame God for the results. So I'll talk a little bit about some direction that we can go. And of course, like a lot of the shows, they were saying, one of the people writing, you know, if we would just teach young men that they're not special, then all this would go away, which is just ignoring really ignoring the problem. But I want to go back to these four things that we mentioned earlier. First of all, there is truth to the idea of the mental instability and the prescription drugs. So how do we account for that, or what do we do about that, you know, as Christians? We're not going to change the secular culture, but what do we do as Christians? I think that, God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then I'll heal their land. So we don't want to – this is where we just need to concentrate on ourselves for now. We're not going to be able to convert the whole secular culture. What do we do with this mental instability? Well, where does it come from, the bulk of it and the use of prescription drugs, that the importance of value, control, and power in the mental health industry and all these mental health issues, they really come out down to a loss of general faith, a loss of faith in God, a loss of the ability to pray, and really that not being our hope anymore. You know, we're Christians in a secular world, and we're watered down on the family level. We don't have to talk about the church in general, but in the individuals and families in your personal life, you can see how you have a tendency to water down your faith and put your hope in worldly things, rather than continue to be have your faith fixed on Christ and recognize that the Christian culture is going in a different direction than the secular culture, and they're not going to join somewhere down the road. Mm. Poor parenting. The best thing I think parents can do for kids is to work really hard again at get your main focus off of earthly wealth and possessions. And prioritize our present devotion to God and eternal hope, and that is certainly not a Band-Aid. That's really an effort that we have to put forth. It's a discipline to take our focus off of this earth and this world and keep it prioritized on our daily devotion to God and eternal hope. violent amusement. If you're going to let your kids buy a game, limit it to games, limit the amount of time, and outlaw games that you wouldn't be comfortable playing with them. I know as older people, we're not going to game like our kids, and maybe we should cut down on the time. But I think it's important that kids feel that their parents are relevant in the world and relevant in these games. And so games that you can play together, be the same with music, the music that they listen to, you know.
Violent.
Yeah, get into their music, but don't let it be the music that you're not comfortable listening to. So that you join them in their world, but help them to discipline their world. Mm. Cultural moral freefall. Parents should understand the times, not just yours, but your kids. Understand where we are culturally and biblically, and what the Bible says. What way the Bible says we're directed. And young men specifically, primarily, need dads to understand and then teach about the problems of being male. And the need to master aggression and cultivate good ways to hunt and pursue value, control, and power.
Which I think you're ending on probably the most important thing there. Certainly a big part of it is dads.
Oh, certainly.
Male mm-hmm. Good male role mm-hmm. models are vanishing in so many young people's mm-hmm. lives. That's
true.
Why they go toward gangs and different things. So lots of issues covered here this week. This is actually kind of a part one of a two-part series talking about what's going on with men. Next week we'll be looking... why are men having so much problems with sexual harassment and being harassers? So kind of an extension of this same mm-hmm. topic this week, what's going on with men. Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. He works a lot with men, men's issues. If you're a man, you need some help, you know you're having problems. Maybe you and your son are having some problems. He works with teenagers and families. And how do people get in touch with you?
Yeah, call me, 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. People also email me at the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. You're going to find this show podcasted if you want to review it at that website. And, of course, office in Edmonds and an office in Kirkland.
Okay, always great stuff. Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.